Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It's Tiki and Tierney on the Fan. Tiki Barber.
Order in the court. Not only did you not prove beyond a reasonable doubt, Mr. Hoffman, you barely proved beyond the preponderance of the evidence. Therefore, I have to rule in favor of the defendant, Mr. Tierney.
Brandon Tierney.
Oh, nice, Senga. You can dress this up any way you want. We all thought he was going to be better than this. Mm-hmm. I am not saying he's a bum by any stretch, but here's what is problematic. Outside of the Rays, he's pitched mostly against bad teams. I just don't trust
Tiki
him.
Tiki and Tierney on the Fan, 101.9 FM and the Odyssey app.
All right, 10:03 on the Fan. What's going on, everybody? This is the Tiki and Tierney Show. So that daily roller coaster here, Tiki, that I have been warning everybody about. One night it's up, Yankees and Mets looking good. One week it's down, Yanks and Mets. The world is ending. Last night was the fun part of the ride. Senga was absolutely filthy. Obviously, Judge is still Judge. Nesty was nasty. I mean, last night was a good night.
Yeah, it was a fun good night for baseball. But, you know, watching Kodai Senga, and he had his ghost fork rolling, takes me back to what I thought about a month or so, maybe less than a month ago, about him. He had 12 strikeouts against the Tampa Rays. He was just filthy. Everything was working for him. For the Mets to figure themselves out and get out of this roller coaster, this 500 roller coaster where they sit on. They're now a game above 500, but who knows before they go back below it. Kodai Senga has to ascend to become their ace. They're paying him a good amount of money. Now, they're not paying him Verlander and Scherzer money, but they're paying him a good $75 million to come over from Japan. And he had this tantalizing ability, this tantalizing group of pitches, fastball, the ghost fork. He had a sweeper that he throws, changeup. He had all of these things that look like it would make him a really good Major League Baseball pitcher. And he's had some growing pains. But I got to tell you, BT, when he's on, like he was on last night against the Phillies, he can be the Mets ace. And I feel like with the lack of trust that we have in Verlander, who got banged around his last time out, Scherzer, who is grinding through whatever it is he's grinding through, health and age, Kodai Senga has to be this team's ace if they're going to go anywhere. I know he's not going to line up as the ace. You know, he's not going to be the number one starter at XYZ. Yep. But when he takes the ball, he has to do this. And he's learning, and we saw it come to fruition last night. We start throwing that ghost fork, not just to get guys to chase it out of the zone, but throwing it for strikes. If he can do that consistently, this Mets team actually starts to feel like they have some of these answers that we've been clamoring for the last 2 months or so.
You think he does this consistently?
I want to say yes.
I mean, last night, it's the kind of night where you walk away saying, yeah, why not? Well, it was that good.
Yeah, he got
it. One of the best games any New York pitcher's had this year.
You're right.
Gerrit Cole, mm-hmm. You name it. I mean, that was just sublime.
Yep, 9 strikeouts, you know, his last 2 outs in the 7th inning, they were strikeouts.
Yeah, finished hard, yeah, finished strong, economical.
He didn't limp his way to the finish.
He was awesome.
It almost felt like, man, throw him out there for another inning. But he had just hit the 100-pitch mark, and it kind of felt perfect. 7 innings, 100 pitches, you strike out 9, you give up a couple big, hard-hit balls, but they were corralled, including Nimmo stealing one up from going over the fence. I think that was Castellanos. All right, so if Kodai Senga can do that, then you feel a lot better about the Mets because there's still a lot of questions with the bullpen. I think there's still rotation issues with Verlander and Scherzer on any given night. Senga has to be this guy. Otherwise, the Mets are just going to be 500 for the rest of the season, and nobody wants to see that with a $340-something million payroll.
I mean, listen, he's young and he's strong, so he gives you, in theory, the chance to get deep into games when he's not laboring through, you know, when he doesn't have that 28-pitch inning early, mm-hmm. that 30-pitch inning early, where he's able to navigate things early and get in a rhythm. He's the kind of guy, even more so than, I still think Verlander's going to have some big games. I do. I think he's going to put up some zeros.
But consistently enough. He's 40. The challenge with Verlander.
But I think his stuff is still there at where Scherzer's stuff is shorter. Like Scherzer, to me, the drop in his stuff.
In the velocity.
Yeah, is easier to detect than Verlander, in my opinion. Well, I mean, some of the numbers back that up as well.
Yeah.
The over-reliance of the fastball, the downtick in fastball velo for talking about Scherzer. So I think that Verlander, you know, Justin's still going to be, he's still going to be periodically dominant. Not that you rely on that to win a pennant, but to your point, you get somebody like Senga who suddenly joins the party, and it does change the complexion because, you know, now all of a sudden the bullpen's not overtaxed, and yeah, it last night felt like the potential start of something really interesting for the Mets.
Yeah,
well, I know we overreact to one game in baseball; it's probably dangerous, yeah. But he's a guy who's been in the crosshairs for a lot of reasons.
Well, you know why? Because he has to be, BT. I go look at the starting rotation for the Mets right now. And David Peterson, he's on the 40-man, but he's down, right? He's young. He's 27 years old. Maybe he figures it out at some point. Who knows? Tylor McGill, same way. 27 years old, he's young. You get to everybody else. Carlos Carrasco's 36, going to be 37. Verlander is 40. Right? Scherzer is 38, going to be 39 soon. Right? So when you think about who is a reliable arm for this team because they have the stuff, right? I don't know if McGill or Peterson has the stuff. Scherzer and Verlander do as well, but they're just old, right? Who has the stuff, has the youth, has the wherewithal to be that guy every single time he takes the ball and gets on the mound, whether it's 5 or 6, you know, 6 days between. It's been 6 with Senga. I'd love to see it 5 and get him worked into a regular rotation like we're used to seeing, because they're going to need him to be that. If Kodai Senga pitches like he did last night and he pitches like he did against the Tampa Rays, where he's striking guys out and he has full command of that ghost fork and he's changing things up with his fastball and change up, then Kodai Senga is the Mets ace that they've been clamoring for, that they're overpaying everybody else to be. Now, is that going to happen? I don't know. But I'm overreacting because I saw something special last night.
That's great. No,
it was special.
He was filthy, man. I mean, he was missing bats all night, and he was outstanding. I guess my question would be, you know, can you be an ace if you can't go on normal rest?
No. That's the thing.
Okay, so at what point do you experiment with that?
Well, this is where the feeling of Buck, like the old school, because this isn't an analytics thing. The analytics aren't going to tell you, well, you know, he's gone through 3 weeks or 4 weeks of pitching on 6 days rest, and if we ratchet it back or ratchet it forward, then this has got to be Buck. This has got to be Buck getting in the head of a young-ish or young American, because he's been in Japan pitching well for years, but the American game and understanding his pitcher. And if he can do that, then Buck will get lauded. If he can't and he keeps throwing him out there in his inconsistent ways and he starts pitching inconsistently like he kind of has been, you know, one great outing, another one he gets 106 pitches in 4 innings or whatever the heck it was the other day, right? This is on Buck to figure out how to make him the ace. This is what Buck is paid for, in my opinion, is to figure out his star pitcher or soon-to-be star pitcher in Kodai Senga. That's what Buck has to do. I don't know how he does it. I don't know baseball well enough to know how you take a six-day rotation and make it into a 5-day, but Kodai Senga was unbelievable last night, and right now he is the Mets' best pitcher. Even though Scherzer technically has the best ERA, to me it's Kodai Senga. He has the filthier stuff, and he has the wherewithal to get deep into game.
I didn't see any tweets my way from Stevie Cohen last night. I expected he might follow up and flex on me a little bit. He did not. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan inside of our Townfield Tower studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I mean, that would be a sick and slick reversal of script if Senga becomes the number one on this team. It actually works.
But wouldn't it make us appreciate Billy Epler and also, by extension, Buck Showalter? Because it was unexpected. Coming into this season, it was all Verlander, Scherzer. That's all we talked about with the Mets. The philosophy. We meant this many times. The philosophy. Get these aged, proven veterans who you can rely upon. The reality is you can't rely upon these guys as much as we thought that we could. I mean, Verlander's ERA plus is sub 100. It's 88. So he's league average. He's 12% worse than league average, right? Scherzer is above 100 at 118, but Senga is trending the right way. He's up to 122. He's trending to be an above average pitcher. And if he pitches like he did last night on a consistent basis, he's going to be way above average. And to me, that constitutes ace. And the only way this Mets team, which has been flying right in the middle of the road, right? They're not high, not low, they're just flying right in the middle of the road. They're 500 and a game below, game above for the last 3 weeks, is by getting exceptional performances from guys like Kodai Senga who were brought here to be that.
It's absolutely a morale boost, there's no doubt. And he was fantastic. You got to give it up. Eric Clifton, let's get to you. He's up first on the Fan. Eric, how are you?
What's up, Eric?
Good morning, boys. How are we doing,
guys? How you doing, pal?
Doing good. I just wanted to see if some barrel rate on the exit velo on Lindor's home run passed your threshold last night.
Well, you know, I'm not sure, but I think it was a little bit lower than Volpe's. I'm going to have to double-check those numbers, pal.
Oh, now size matters. You remind me of the guy from the movie Major League. It's like, who gives a bleep? It's out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's right. I know.
He smashed that one, though.
It was good to see. Hey, BC, let me ask you this. What if they go upstairs, they duct tape and kidnap Ron Darling and bring him downstairs to try to figure this guy out? Because Buck basically said, I don't have the answers. Ron Darling, in my opinion, is one of the most brightest baseball pitching minds that I've ever listened to. Do you think that he can offer something and possibly figure that, you know, unlock this combination?
I mean, it's not going to happen during the season. No. I mean, he's an analyst. He's not a coach.
That would be unprecedented, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Does David Cone ever, you know, kind of slide onto the field before game and kind of exchange thoughts with Yankee pitchers?
I mean, it's not illegal.
Not in an actual advisor role, but more in an unscripted way, maybe? And I do agree with your assertion. Ron Darling, I mean, he's Ivy educated. He's as smart as it gets. He's got a great personality. He's amazing. It's not a bad resource to tap into. And, you know, would they do it? I think that's probably more of a spring training thing, Eric, you know? Like the roving instructors and stuff, but couldn't hurt. I got a lot of respect for Ronnie. You know that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I always say get the greatest. I mean, listen, you know, they do it in football. They, you know, with Russell Wilson, they would bring in, you know, baseball players to teach him to help slide. So I mean, if somebody's got a proficiency at something, I would just go get the brightest mind that you can. Because, like you said, I mean, there the numbers between him on the road and him at City, it's just
it's staggering.
Somebody's got to be able to figure that one out.
Well, it's still early, and yeah, thanks for the call there, buddy. The sample is still relatively small, but there's no disputing the discrepancy between home success and road failure, and I put quotes around failure. it's vast. Yes. I mean, he is a different pitcher in Queens, and, you know, does that hold up the rest of the year? Why is it that? I don't know the reasons. Could be just partially circumstantial. I mean, I don't know. Could be weather-based. You'd have to really do a deep dive, but at least now, and I think most Met fans felt that when Senga's on, he was dangerous. Yeah. You know, now you start to see, all right, how he pitched against Tampa with the 12 strikeouts.
That was home.
Yeah, exactly. How he did last night against the Phillies, just dominant.
Also home.
Yep. Now you start to say, all right, okay, it's not that much of a stretch, to Tinky's point, to maybe hope that he ascends to the top of the rotation unconventionally.
I thought it was a West Coast thing as I was just looking, you know, but it's not really, because his first start, he was fine, right? It was at Miami, and he pitched 5 1/3, only gave up one run. He had 8 strikeouts. So maybe it is a West Coast thing. Got banged around a little bit in Oakland, got banged around a little bit in San Francisco, got banged around a lot in Cincinnati, Chicago as well. Maybe it's an East Coast thing. I don't know.
Maybe
his internal clock is just really off.
Still?
I'm just guessing.
Well, maybe, because they do train down in Port St. Lucie, so, I mean, I don't know.
Miami, he was fine. Yeah. Oakland, San Francisco, Cincinnati, Chicago, all off of East Coast time.
Yeah, but Chicago's only an hour.
It doesn't matter. Cincinnati's only an hour.
He's a creature of habit.
I don't know. I'm guessing. I'm purely guessing.
No, I hear you.
But it's uncanny. On the East Coast, Eastern Standard Time, he's actually fantastic.
It's undeniable. I have been told that Volpe's exit velo for, like, because Eric brought this up, that Volpe was 106 on the home run. Lindor, 104.6. I'll tell you, by the way, Volpe needed that pop. We'll get to the Yanks a little later. Yanks are jumping on pitchers early, which is a great sign. Let's get Mike in Floral Park. What's happening, Mikey?
How you doing? Morning. I just wanted to follow up on some of the Met chatter here, because last night was such a relief to finally watch a well-pitched game and the bullpen not to give it away, because they went to their Tier 1 relievers and they held it to check. But any idea when Jose Quintana is going to be back? Because I know he kind of had a career year for an older guy last year, signed him to a 2-year deal. I think he had a fractured rib, and we were talking about July, so I don't know.
I mean, that's the last I heard. Mike, that's just the last that I heard.
Yeah,
here.
It's just a weird injury. Like a rib cage, rib injury for a pitcher.
Fracture.
And I'm assuming it happened from, like, a stress fracture. So he was, it came from throwing. It didn't come from
Trauma.
Yeah, blunt trauma or something.
I think so as well,
That one was odd to me. And so it's hard to predict. By the way, I had that, Mike, when I was playing, and I felt like somebody was stabbing me every single breath I took. So it's not easy to come back from. So I have no idea.
Now he's going to build his whole arm up. It's not like he's basically at zero.
I bet you played through it.
No, I did play through it, but it hurt like hell. I mean, I'm just telling you. If I had to go concentrate on throwing a strike, there's no way. I mean, I could just blind it out and be like, all right, this is going to hurt for the next month or whatever, 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But if I had to pinpoint a strike, there's no way I could have done that. There's no way.
Yeah, it's a different torque. It's a different. Yeah, I hear you. Yep. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I also think that if they can get back up to that 5 to 8 games over 500, we've seen all these other teams get hot after the trade deadline.
Yep.
Things come together. I don't know. If you ask me my opinion of Epler, I think he has struck out more than he has come through.
Oh, yeah.
That may not be fair, but the last trade deadline, he was like 0-3.
Mike. I mean, listen, we've talked about Billy, and we'll continue to talk about Billy Epler. Thank you very much for the call there, Mike, as we, you know, look ahead to what the Mets might or will do before the trade deadline. Yeah, the constant analysis and dissection of Billy, like Cashman for the Yankees, has been unfavorable. Mm-hmm. Although with little Cashman, there's a track record, there's a history, there's championships. Billy Epler did nothing with the Angels, he's done very little so far. I know they won 101 games a year ago, second most ever for the Mets. So in their history, you got to make sure you give credit where it's due. But no, the chances that the Mets had in real time to get better, Billy Epler colossally whiffed on.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
And the only excuse is that he is saving resources for Ohtani.
Yep.
So you take the cheap route with Vogelbach and Ruff because you don't want to get that mortgage before you actually have to get the mortgage.
No, I understand what you're saying. There's something to be said for that. But also, you know, the free agent signings were not impacted by lack of desire to part with assets. So,
good point.
You know, it's early, but last night, again, really, and I said this to Tiki yesterday, like the Mets need to, it's hard for me to take the Mets seriously for two reasons. And the first reason is before last night's game. Not that one game changes everything positively or negatively, but hopefully it starts trending much better for the Mets, is that they have not handled prosperity well.
No.
Every time they show a little, you know, a little bounce, a little energy, the walk-off wins, people are feeling good, you know, that you get that chatter going, all right, here come the Mets, you know, a reminder of what they gave you a year ago for the entire summer, 6 months of great baseball before, you know, came to a rough halt at the end, the Braves, the Padres, you know, they take two steps back.
Yeah.
It's the Tigers. It's the Reds. It's the Rockies the first time. It's the Rockies this past weekend. Those are the checkpoints that they need to start passing. But it also works another way. They've also shown an ability when things start to go, you know, I don't want to say really bad because mm-hmm. they've basically been 500, for, you know, but they also show a quick ability to not let it linger too excessively. So that's a good characteristic. I'm just trying to find out who this team is.
Yeah.
And if Sanga's like Sanga last night, the entire outlook changes. Undeniable for me. Right, Teak?
100% agree. If the it comes down to an individual accountability, and Sanga had it last night. And if he has it like that for the rest of the season, he will be their ace, and he gives them a chance to get to wherever they need to get. I think eventually Scherzer figures it out and Verlander as well, but to me, Sanga is the X factor. And if he can pitch like he did last night and like he did against Toronto, really anytime he's at home, then Kodai Senga can be the ace that this Mets team needs.
All right, good stuff. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the fan. We'll get to the Yanks a little later this hour as well. Judge, wait, I actually saw some numbers. Aaron Judge's last 250 games as a major leaguer. You want context? I don't know that this will fully provide it, but it might add a little clarity. Not that you need to know or wondering if he's good. He's amazing, but these numbers are sick. Volpe needed that. Cortez needed that. So right now, last night and night where you say, all right, why not Yanks and Mets? And good vibes all around. Tiki and Tierney on the fan.
We're known for being polite, so we give you a chance to talk too. Call the fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
All right, 1029 back on the fan. What's going on, everybody? This is the Tiki and Tierney Show. Sanga dealing. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. And the Yankees still hitting. Yanks are jumping on these pitchers very, very, very quickly out in Seattle. I'm not sure how many of you have stayed up and watched the entire game. Yanks are looking really strong. Let me give you a number here. This is insane. So we talk about Judge's season last year, which was obviously epic, right? But the last 250 games for Aaron Judge, he's first in slugging, he's first in OPS, he's first in home runs, he's first in runs, and he's first in barrel percentage. I mean, every single time. I made the comment yesterday.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
And obviously, it's not about championships because baseball versus basketball is very different. The ability for a baseball player to nightly influence, unless you're a pitcher,
yeah,
the outcome is, it's nowhere near what basketball is. Everybody knows that because you think about this. If, I don't know, if a team takes 83 shots in a given NBA night, I'm just throwing out a number, I mean, your best player conceivably could take 25 of them.
Yeah.
You know, not to mention 11, 12, 13 free throws.
If it's Carmelo, it could take 35.
That's true. And miss 23. No, I'm just kidding. But that is very different than baseball where you get up four times. Hell, you might be the best fielder of all time. You get no action. You can't influence things. You might have Ricky Henderson speed. If you're not on base, you can't run. Okay. So that being said, that's pretty basic stuff comparing the two sports. But man, Aaron Judge, every single night, is doing something that just doesn't happen in baseball. It just doesn't happen.
It doesn't. And when you think about the home run lead, which is Pete's boy, Pete Alonso,
MVP, get a little tighter.
At 20, Judge has 18, and he's missed 8 games.
Yes. I believe Pete's got about 50 more plate appearances, maybe more than that, actually, last I checked. Something like that.
It's only a matter of time before Aaron Judge passes him.
Yeah, I would think so.
Because he's hitting one seemingly every other day, if not two in a day. And, you know, when you look at the last, I don't know, 12 games or so, whatever it is that he's been back, He's leading the league in every statistical category. 12 home runs. Since he missed time, he came back, he's hit 12 home runs. It's unbelievable.
His OPS is 1,500.
Exactly. It's just, it's unreal.
Now batting Babe Ruth. Ruth, number three. Jeez.
Babe Ruth is like, he pales in comparison to what Aaron Judge is doing right
insane.
Now. Different pitching, obviously, back then when Babe Ruth was smacking 50-something home runs or 60, whatever it was. 58, I think, was his max. I can't remember now. But
who, Babe?
Yeah.
60.
60. So whatever it is. But Aaron Judge is just, he's a special dude.
Man. He is.
Special dude.
Even his first at-bat, he just missed a home run last night. Hit one foul. Just missed it.
And it's every moment he's on the diamond.
Yeah.
Everyone.
How many?
Diving.
That's the
diving in left field. I mean, he didn't get to it, but he knocked it down, right? So it's like the things he does are... It's effort every minute. Every minute there's effort. And you don't see that all the time in baseball.
How many position players in baseball do you feel like you must watch every single second?
Mm. Judge is one.
Oh, well, there's no doubt.
Otani. Maybe
yeah,
Otani.
But he's not playing the outfield.
No, but only when he's pitching.
Oh, yeah, no, that's different. Clearly, only when he's on pitching. The hill, he's...
But even not really then.
He's one of one.
Yeah. So,
or two of two, even though those numbers are better.
Otani would be early. One.
Yeah. Okay.
Judge is another.
I brought up the name Ken Griffey Jr. To me, you throw it back to there. You know,
you're talking about the history.
Well, somewhat recent. Yeah. I'm not going to go back to the 20s, 30s, 40s, you know, whatever. But, you know, I would say post 1970-ish, you know. And it's not about the totality of his stats. He started later.
Yeah.
He's had some injuries. There was a COVID season where, you know, everybody had 110 games lopped off their potential game log, so their numbers will be adversely affected. But, man, oh, man, night to night, he is just beyond box office and beyond anything I've ever seen on a baseball diamond, Aaron Judge. 877-337-6666. All right, let's get back to you guys here. How about Linda? In Long Beach. Linda, where you been, girl?
You know what? You're hard to get through to, which is fine. I enjoy listening to you guys very, very much, but I 100% think you're trolling Lindor.
What do you do?
Yeah, they both hit home runs last night. Instead of saying, oh, Lindor really needed that one, you put them up against each other, and you said that, you know, Look at that. He hit it harder.
Well,
they both went over the fence.
And by the way, Linda, Lindor's was needed because it was very little offense.
Very little offense for the Mets.
Very little offense.
I wanted to hear that from you instead of just comparing the two together.
Well, I respect that. I respect that you got your boys back here, Linda. That's all good, and I love it. But here's the thing. This is a classic case of you hearing what you want to hear. Now, you know what I'm going to tell you.
No, I don't hear that. Get out of here.
Linda, no, I'm going to tell you. Do you know what I mean by that? I'm going to tell you what I mean. I didn't bring up the exit velo. Eric from Clifton, the first caller of the day, he brought it up. And quite frankly,
I wasn't listening at that point.
Well, maybe you need to listen.
I am. I'm in and out of the car.
I got
you. But I will say this. Aaron Judge, a must watch because my wife is a big Yankee fan. And, you know, we go to games.
Wait, so you're a Met fan? She's a Yankee fan?
Yes, she is. It's an interesting dichotomy. And you
I was
going
to say.
I can't compare the two. You know, it's wonderful watching him hit. But I will say this about my boy. He's streakier.
Yes.
He's definitely streakier. And he'll come off. And you know what? Aaron will probably catch him. But you know what? He'll go off on a tear and hit. 4-4 games. You know?
Alonzo's terrific. Yeah, Alonzo. Thank you, Linda. Thanks for the call. Can I just register a little teeny weeny tiny minuscule gripe?
Go ahead.
And I know other teams do it, but I feel like it looks worse with the Mets. I don't know. I know this will be misconstrued. Whatever. Can they wear the same belts? I don't like this where
I've never noticed that.
No, maybe it looks worse because they're different shades of blue. Like, if you have, I don't really like this either, like the Astros had those wacky uniforms on Memorial Day, those space things, which actually were kind of cool. Like, I think I was watching it with Colt. Lindor, Altuve had, I think, an orange belt, and I don't know, Alvarez had a blue. It wasn't uniform, but it was okay. I don't love, like, Alonzo, it looks sloppy.
I can't see this.
Mets fans are going to get all over me for this one. Now he's picking on Alonzo's belt. I don't like it.
What is worse?
What?
Differing belts or differing shoes?
Oh, no, I actually kind of like the different shoes. when you're honoring something. No, that's cool. Is that, I mean, if you're wearing one Nike, one New Balance, you look a little weird. If you're wearing, you know, like one FDNY, one NYPD, or, you know, some sort of, you know.
It's funny.
Like they do in the NFL. That's great.
It bothers Memorial Day, Judge Adam. In the NBA. Everybody has different shoes.
You mean not one, not a different one on each foot.
Yeah.
You mean like the small forward has this. And I don't like that either.
It throws me off.
I don't like it either, man. And, you know, when we were growing up, I know you were in Virginia, but one of the things that I love, because then we did this in CYO, St. John's, they used to wear the red and white Nike Dunks, mm-hmm. and they all had them. They looked sweet. And we did the same thing with our team. We'd have the same sneakers. And then when the Knicks of the 90s went to the playoffs, everybody would wear black, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, to me, that's cool. But when you have, like, seven guys, and then you have, like, pink and fluorescent, it's we're old. I get it. But, I mean, I still got a little style here. I don't know what these cats are
the
doing.
Problem is
but Alonzo's belt, it annoys me.
No, it's funny.
Annoys is the wrong word. It just doesn't look good.
I didn't even notice it.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to look, and it's going to annoy me, too. Thanks, BT.
I'm all about, you know, diversity, but there is a level of uniformity in the pro ranks that is not a bad thing, Tiki.
Nice.
Don't say.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. I just tweeted something, too, during the break. Like, obviously, you know, what Judge is doing right now, and the numbers bear it out. I gave you this before. Last 250 games, he's first in, and there's others, but there's just too many to really list here. But he's first in slugging, OPS, home runs, runs, and barrel percentage. I mean, everything he hits hard. Everything he hits far. So I was thinking about this, like, with Judge doing what he does at his nightly prowess on a baseball diamond, along with Dwight Gooden, like young, vintage Doc Gooden, those are the two greatest must-see, must-watch baseball spectacles of my lifetime. Didn't see Seaver. Now, listen, that's not to diminish a Mariano or Jeter or all the other great luminaries here. You know, I remember Reggie in the early 80s, not in the 70s. But to me, it's just different. Like, it transcends the sport. And it transcends, certainly, in Dwight, because the world was smaller when Dwight was pitching. No social media. But Dwight's transcended the city. I feel like Aaron Judge pretty much transcends the world, at least from a baseball point of view.
Yeah,
I mean, he truly does.
Even from a non-baseball point of view, because of the things that he's doing make you pay attention, even if you don't necessarily love baseball or watch baseball. It's just hard not to appreciate, one, his size, but also his dominance. Right, he was MVP, and he could easily, if he didn't miss eight games, he'd be the front runner for the MVP again.
Yep.
I think Ohtani has jumped him a little bit. But right now, I mean, it's coming back. Right? I think the odds are inching back towards Judge. They're getting a little bit shorter for Judge, with even though Ohtani's had a fantastic season, as he seemed, he always will as long as he's healthy. But Aaron Judge is starting to become the guy again. I mean, he never really wasn't. He just missed some time, but he is fun to watch.
All right. Let me get Tim down in Largo, Florida on the Free Odyssey app. Timmy, what's cooking, buddy? How are you?
How you doing?
Hey,
what's
Tim?
Up, Tim?
Listen, I know Judge is very good, but he's not God. One of the things that nobody talks about was how many times he strikes out. Yes, when he hits the ball, great, but he strikes out more than once every three times a game.
Okay, but he's hitting over.
He's a 300 hitter, Timmy. Stop. Come on, Tim. What are you doing?
Oh, okay. So it's okay if he strikes out all the time.
And pretty much, yeah. I mean,
okay,
yes.
Who has more home runs since 2019?
But he's.
Oh, wait. Hold on. May I just jump in for one moment?
I don't understand the point.
Timmy,
of this call.
Are you trying to lead us down an Alonzo? If you want to get into Alonzo Judge, go for it. Is that what you're trying to do? Well, go for it.
Well, I am, but people, not just you guys.
No, I got you.
People in general, act like Judge can't do no wrong.
No, he's just the best player in baseball. He's not infallible, but he's just the best player in baseball. Certainly the best player in New York.
Yes, he is.
Okay, so what's the problem?
Well, because like you talked about the belt. It's like you downgrade Alonzo all the time. Not all the time, sometimes.
No, that was Lindor.
That was
Lindor.
The belt.
That was Lindor. That wasn't Alonzo.
No, it was Alonzo.
Oh, it was Alonzo
with the belt, yeah. To my knowledge, we're going to have to check Lindor's waistline, make sure he's not coloring outside the fashion lines as well. I'll get on that tonight, I promise. No. Listen, if Aaron Judge, and I know he's done it, you know, for Father's Day and for Mother's Day with breast cancer and pink and blue. I don't mean that, clearly. But if Aaron Judge was wearing a powder blue belt nightly against Yankee Royal Blue, I'd say it looks ridiculous. I like it. Almost as ridiculous as Hoffman's MVP, hashtag MVP shirt that was in Yankee Royal Blue that he wore down to DJ's on Friday. Equally ridiculous. Let's get Nick in Huntington. What's going on, Nick? How are you today?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
What up, good, man?
I just wanted to let you know that I really do believe that sometimes Mike Piazza gets overlooked. I believe that, especially for his 4 years, his first 4 years as a 98 to 2001, he definitely was the other must-watch, most compelling New York baseball athlete that had to be, you know, just watched every at-bat. Because number one, his stats, pure stats, and number two, basically what he meant to the city.
I mean, Piazza was amazing. I mean, you know, I don't even really need to go down the rabbit hole of other guys that are comparable, but not many are. I mean, I'll tell you what's interesting, Nick. Thanks for the call. I appreciate you get some Piazza love in there. Teak, I mean, a lot of Piazza, his hitting accomplishments came at a different city. Remember, he came here, he's 30 years old,
yeah.
29, 30.
Yep.
You look at some of his seasons with this is a catcher who couldn't run, who never got an infield hit. 346
yeah.
he hit. 330. This is in succession. In succession, 318, 319, 346, 336, 362, 328 for a catcher. Like, I mean, we could talk about Yogi and loving Elston Howard and Gary Carter, even Posada, you know, lesser extent, but switch hitter to pop. I mean, and it's unfair to Mike. If Mike Piazza played his entire career here, because not that his accomplishments out west should be obscured, but because they didn't happen here, they are on some level. Mike Piazza, if he did that with the Mets, Mike Piazza might be positioned as a top. I mean, I want to be realistic.
He's already a Hall of Famer.
No doubt. He's great.
How much higher could you get?
Maybe he's a top 20 all-time player.
Yeah,
that maybe. Prodigious power. Catchers in the 90s hitting 350?
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's incredible.
Point. Well, I got to tell you, but Met fans should be extraordinarily excited about their current catcher.
Well, that's true. Maybe he's the next one, Alvarez.
Because Alvarez, I was just reading about how the team OPS, catching OPS, so this includes Nito and everybody, and Sanchez, etc.
Yeah.
Since he came up, it is so far above average in Major League Baseball. I want to say it's 740 or something.
Oh, that's strong for a catcher. That's really good.
And over the course of the season, it's like six. It's like second in Major League Baseball, but that doesn't count. I mean, he didn't come up till April 7th. But just looking at Francisco Alvarez's stats over the last month, he's hitting .292. His OPS is over 1,000. He's got 7 home runs and 13 extra base hits. I mean, he's a catcher, and he's a really good catcher. So not that he's the second coming of Mike Piazza, but if he plays like he has in May for the entirety of a full season.
Oh, that's going to be really interesting.
For a decade?
Yep. Oh, my God.
Then he's going to be special.
Oh, he's already special. I mean, you don't need to. I know you gave some of the stats there, and that's a good one there. But, and I'm trying to find it. Maybe there's a minimum amount of.
Yeah, he might not have.
He's
not qualified.
I'm looking for average exit velo, and I know, average velo. But it matters. Every time this guy hits a ball, it's on the screws, even his outs.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the double play against Colorado. He hit it to third. I think it was like 109. The kid McMahon spun it around the horn last night. You know, every night they put up the top three highest exit velos within the game when they do it.
Yeah.
And
it's not necessarily home runs.
No, it could be an out.
Yeah.
And I feel like every night Francisco Alvarez is on that list they put on SNY. No, he's phenomenal. And he's got great energy. He is perfect for the Mets. Coco's in Manhattan. What's happening, Coco?
So, BT and Tiki, big fan, by the way.
Thank you.
I think you guys make me relate to the fan when Mike and Chris were up there.
By
taking calls. Now, I don't call his name. Like, I used to know, you know, Dory from
Oh, Doris. Yeah. Doris from Regal Park. Sure. Yeah. You know, the great names of the past. Respect.
I know she passed away. You guys take a lot of calls. I like that. But
thanks, man.
I'm having a little problem with you here.
Is Tiki bothering you again, Coco?
Yeah, what did I do?
Tiki bothering you again?
I mean, Tiki is a Giants fan.
He's a Giants fan. Good. So you got my back. I got your back.
Oh, it's for me.
Tiki hates the Jets. And you hate the Mets.
I hate the Jets.
Tiki's a Jets hater, confirmed.
Not a Jets hater.
Tiki, you hate the Jets. But to get to my point, I'm going to ask this quick question, by the way. If we had Tiki with Vinny Testaverde against that game against the Broncos, do you think we'll win that game? BT, I will let you answer that question.
Well,
you make it sound like Rodgers that much better than Alonso. He's not. You put Alonso in Yankee Stadium, you'll have more home run to me.
Coco.
Who got more home run right now?
Oh, it's Alonso. Coco. Right?
Yeah, but he missed eight
games. No,
okay. All right, Coco, let me ask you a question, okay? By the way, I take Curtis over Teak. Mm-hmm. Oh, I take Teak, but I take Teaky over Keith Byers, who coughed it up in Denver.
Coco, are you a rare Met Giant fan?
No, I'm a Met fan and a Jet fan.
Oh, God. Well, I thought you were saying you were a Giants
time,
fan.
Every time you play for the Giants, I supported you.
Oh, so he respects you.
You just like me, but you hate the Giants. I got it.
Okay. All right, so before we start talking about the Islanders next here. All right, we'll talk about the Metro Stars next. Let me ask you a question.
I don't hate the Giants.
I got you.
But you hate the Jets.
Gotcha. Good, buddy. He doesn't. Well, sometimes he does. It's all good. Here's my question. Stick to Judge and Alonso.
I love Nate Hackett.
That's your boy already. I love it. So Coco is in Manhattan, and he's still with us here, and he's got a little beef with the way we position the Judge and Alonso. And I get it. Territorial battle lines are drawn. Yankees, Mets fans. I love it. It makes the sports world spin.
Mm-hmm.
Coco, you own an expansion team, okay? Tiki gave you half the money for it. All right, so he was the investor behind it, along with Jay-Z gave you 2%. All right, so you guys, you swing.
No, I would give you 0.5%. Jay-Z would give you 99.5%.
That's really good. So you have access to every player, and with the first pick in the 2024, we'll do it next year, MLB expansion draft. You could take Alonso or you could take Judge. Who are you taking?
Okay, how old is Alonso? Pete Alonso, how old is he?
You take Alonso?
You're fooling
yourself. I'm asking, how old is Alonso right now?
Oh, how old is he? Pete's 28.
28. Judge is 31.
Okay,
31.
How old is Judge?
He's 31.
Are they both playing at the Yankee Stadium?
Yes.
I'm taking Alonso.
Okay. So whoever's picking second is, if it's me, there we go.
Don't get me wrong. Judge is a great player. Don't get me wrong. But you make it sound like he's so much better than Alonso.
He is.
He's not.
No, he is.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Hey, simple debate, Coco. Simple debate, Coco, and you can call us back in October.
Buddy.
Who's hitting more home runs this year? Simple debate. Who's hitting more home runs?
You mean at the end of the year?
At the end of the year.
It's going to be Judge.
Call us back in October, Coco.
It's going to be Judge. Who do you think?
You don't have to wait till October, but ultimately you have to call us back at the end of October and let us know.
But here's the thing. Yes, true, and that's a fun whatever little offset.
It's going to be Judge.
Okay, but even if it's Alonso, it doesn't mean that Alonzo's better because Judge does everything else better.
I don't even care about that. I'm just talking about...
But we were talking about who's the better player.
I'm just talking about pure home runs that's what he was positioning it at.
Yeah.
Pure home runs. Uh-huh. Who's going to hit more home runs?
Yeah.
It's going to be Judge.
Yeah, I agree.
There's been multiple 2 home run games already.
I know.
And he's stealing home runs.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
Judge. I mean, it's going to be Judge.
He's the greatest New York baseball spectacle since Dwight Gooden.
Alonso will get close. He's going to have 54.
Okay, and what's Judge going to have?
He's going to hit 60.
He's going to hit 60? Oh, don't put that pressure on him.
Dude, he's on the...
Nah, you're right. He's going to hit 60. You're
he's
probably
on,
right.
He's almost on, got he's 20. On the trajectory.
He'll have 20 after tonight.
He's on the same trajectory.
No, he's actually ahead. Put aside home runs, everything else. I saw this yesterday.
Yeah.
Ahead. Mm. Even with the 8 missed games.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, he's incredible. And so's Pete. But it's a different evaluation. 877-337-6666. So it might be time, and I know we do it all the time. It is what it is. But maybe today is the day, we'll get to this more coming up, that we stop overreacting to the nightly, when it's a bad night, to the Yanks and the Mets. All right? And maybe, if you actually want to think positively, we could actually look at what we've seen so far and say, you know what? I've seen enough evidence to think both teams are going to the playoffs. We'll get to that more coming up next on The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.